Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com proudly brings to you, oh, you didn't know? You see, it's me, it's the G-U-double-T, rolling again with that.
I'm a nice man. Yeah, I'm an earth man.
Yeah. Rolling again with the JCD. John, welcome back.
How's it going?
It's going good. We weren't here last week due to Thanksgiving, but we are back and ready to go with some news and rumors, aren't we?
Yep.
All right. Sam is not with us this week. He had been with us for a number of weeks. Hopefully he will be back with us again. Those of you listening, feel free to call in with your comments, your suggestions, your responses to the news and rumors. The phone number is 760-888-5749. I want to go ahead and get started, John, with the Raw Active poll from Monday night. Daniel Bryan had tweeted about, I think from hashtag battle.com, if I got that correct, that in fact Daniel Bryan had gotten more votes than Kane, yet obviously we saw CM Punk versus Kane in the main event. Was the Raw Active poll fixed? Was it rigged? What do you think happened here, John?
Supposedly what I had read was this was kind of Vince's way of taking a shot by having Kane win and then the whole Red Rules thing. I mean, we all know Vince is a diehard Republican. I heard some people speculate that this was kind of his way of just taking a shot based on what happened to the with Linda. I mean, Brian Kane obviously was always going to be booked to be the match. And you know what? I'm not going to complain because the Ray Bryan match that we got out of it was amazing.
That's a good point. However, I couldn't help but really hope to see Brian versus Punk, and I know a lot of people reading on Twitter were definitely hoping for another Brian CM Punk match. They put on so many great matches. I think it was in 2011 where the majority of their matches. But I see your point. You know, it was very interesting. I didn't cross my mind how Vince being a Republican and trying to take a shot with what happened with Linda, but it did seem obvious to me that something had to be rigged there, and WWE probably just wanted to go with Kane for some reason. So do you think that this really affects things going forward? I mean, personally, I think that it discourages people from voting because it means that their votes don't matter, that they're going to WWE is going to do whatever they want anyway.
Yeah, I mean, the one time I was surprised was when, you know, everyone was joking around saying Team Friendship and the three names. So I was actually surprised that didn't win. So, you know,
yeah,
I mean,
thought
it
that
has
was
had
win
its
also.
Yeah, it has had its moments where you're like, all right, it's obvious this is where they're going to go. So, I mean, I wouldn't say it totally discourages it, but I guarantee you won't see whatever the volume was that you've seen up till Monday night. You probably won't see that volume again. If it becomes more disgustingly obvious, then you may see people become completely discouraged of it. What they may just do is they may just start putting the obvious choice in there with a bunch of, you know nothing alternatives to get what they want to keep it legit too. You know, you could see them go that route.
Yeah, it seemed like at one point they had like really terrible options. You know, I think that when The Miz had won the Raw Active Poll, which I was so happy about, it was between The Miz, Zack Ryder, and Santino Marella. And we've seen other situations like that where two of the choices were just terrible and one was just really obvious.
This
one wasn't as obvious, but...
You know, I mean, I guess they felt maybe, you know, they could get away with it because Kane is still coming off as the face of the two, but, I mean, obviously, you know, Kane, Punk Brian or Punk Kane, what's going to win out?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, John, what do you have for us tonight?
A little interesting interview came out today with Matt Hardy being interviewed about an upcoming independent show, and the question came up because, you know, everyone knows Jeff's contract is coming up, about is there any chance of a Hardy Boys reunion in the WWE, and Matt responded very likely, which now, I mean, nothing's come out about Jeff re-signing. I know TNA likes to keep contract negotiations close to the vest, obviously, with Matt Morgan, D-Von, and with someone else that I'll get to in another note in a little bit. So the fact that he hasn't re-signed yet isn't overly alarming, but would Matt make that kind of statement just to put it out there? I don't know. And, you know, we may be on the verge, maybe heading into WrestleMania season with having the Hardy Boys back. What do you think of that?
I also read that, and I'm glad you brought it to everyone's attention here on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. Matt doesn't strike me as the type of person to do that, to just throw things out just for the sake of to get people talking. He really doesn't seem like that. He's in the independent promotions a lot recently. Jay and I have been seeing him at Pro Wrestling Syndicate in Rahway, New Jersey. We're seeing him again December 7th. He's now their World Heavyweight Champion. So he definitely doesn't need to get, you know, his name out there anymore. He doesn't need to get more people talking about him. So I think he was just really being honest. You know, I think that a lot of superstars who aren't in WWE anymore, who had a history like the Hardy Boys had with WWE, similar to Goldust and Dustin Rhodes, they would love to be back with WWE and be able to finish their careers there. So he's probably hoping. I don't know how likely it is. Like you said, we really don't know what the negotiations are for Jeff or for Matt, but I'm sure that Matt is hoping to be back in WWE.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's interest there. I mean, they were always under the impression in 2009 that Jeff would be back. From what I remember, when he showed up at TNA, they were kind of caught off guard with that. So they did have intention of bringing him back and continuing the Punk feud. You're right. I mean, don't get me wrong. Matt Hardy at times can come off being completely batshit crazy with some of the stuff that comes out of his mouth, but he's never been a guy that said something just to put it out there and, you know, just for the heck of it. So I don't know. I think there may be something to this. I get a feeling that, you know, this all ties back to what happened, you know, with Jeff and the world title, that they may have given it to him just to kind of maybe attempt to appease him, and it may not work. You know, I guess we'll know probably by Final Resolution if he drops the belt to Rude. You know, that Hardy comment, Matt Hardy's comment may really have some weight to it.
Yeah, and it would be very interesting to, especially at this point, to see Hardy's come back and see them do something with CM Punk. I'm sure Vince would immediately put them in some sort of segment with Punk, given their history and given, you know, how much heat that Vince is trying to get to CM Punk right now.
Yeah, I could totally see that brought back up. It would work. It would definitely work.
Absolutely. All right. Well, one thing I saw on WWE.com today was a tribute to valets, the past valets in WWE, including Kimberly Page, Miss Elizabeth, Stacey Keibler, Charmel, Deborah, Tori Wilson. John, who are some of your favorite past valets from WWE?
Yeah, definitely Liz, definitely Keibler. I'll be honest with you, I was never a big Tori Wilson guy. I have a buddy.
Me neither.
When the Monday Night Wars were going on, he used to just swear to me how great she was, and I never saw it. I actually like Chyna. You know, even back from the beginning, you know, I thought the character was great, and it actually worked
if
well with Triple H at the time.
LA.
You know what, though? It was more of a modern-day version of it, but, yeah, I think so. She was really, you know, kind of the first one in WWE to really get physical. I mean, I know WCW had Medusa, you know, and all that. But you know, she was her character worked.
I think she was the first woman to be in the Royal Rumble match, if I remember correctly.
Yes. Yep. She was.
And then she was an Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah. Yep.
Same year,
October 99.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I remember Triple H used to come out with a different valet until Sable hit TV.
Yep.
But it's a lost art. We don't really see the valet thing anymore. We saw it a little bit with Oksana when she was with Antonio Cesaro. But we really haven't seen it that much recently. And given the state of the Divas division, I would think that it would be something that Vince and WWE would have more of. Or maybe
they just see it as a waste. Especially with how bad a lot of them are, this would be better roles for them. Even look at Trish at the beginning, you know. She had Tess and Albert. Lita had Essie Rios and the Hardys. You know, even Molly Holly had, you know, was with the Hollies, you know. They all did something and then morphed into, you know, the great performers that they were. Now, you know, I mean,
even
Rosa, look at how long she kind of dribbed and drabbed around before she got put with Primo and Epico. You know, and it looks like she's heading to Del Rio. So, you know, I mean, it's a lost art.
I hope that she ends up with Del Rio. I think that would really benefit everyone.
I'll tell you,
Del
that
Rio
would be a great thing for Del Rio,
Del
for
Rio.
Her, and if they even put, you know, Primo and Epico with them, that would be a good little group there. That would work
absolutely
for everyone, kind of help reinvent Del Rio a little.
And you would see, like, a Mexican million-dollar corporation-type group, which I think would be really great.
Yeah, and it would even make them targeting Rey and Kara make sense. You know, it wouldn't just be Primo and Epico anymore against Rey and Sin Cara. Like, it's the type of thing where no one, unless they completely botched it up, no one would lose.
Absolutely. Maybe even Ricardo Rodriguez, you can even have him turn against Del Rio at this point, team up with Rey and Sin Cara in a little 3-on-3 against Del Rio and Primo and Epico.
Let me tell you something about Ricardo. He is actually phenomenal on the stick. There are some things, if you want to really get a glimpse of what Ricardo brings to the table besides what they let him, go YouTube some of his stuff from FCW. When he was leading the big Ascension group, you know, some of his promos, they did some sit-down interviews with him and the whole group. It was like him and like five other guys, including the team, the Ascension. And his work was just phenomenal. He ran an angle that, like, he explained how Del Rio's actually his employee, that his father ran, like, a PR company, and his father paired him with Del Rio to make Del Rio the star that he was today. It's a good 6 or 7 minute clip, and Ricardo comes off amazing in it. It's a shame they just use him as the comedy act, even though that's how he's over right now. But if they really wanted to tweak his character, too, and make him relevant, it would work, I'm telling you.
And I don't know what they're waiting for. It seems like it's been the same thing since, I don't know when, almost a year ago, I would probably say.
It started at the Rumble when he came out as Del Rio. That's where it started with him.
Right, I remember that. But even before then, I felt like they had set it up so that at any point Ricardo could break away, do the whole Virgil thing, but obviously with a little more success. But they keep dragging this on between the two of them, and their characters haven't changed, and nothing about their gimmick has changed. So why would we care about them at all?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's surprising. It's like they want to break them away, and then the real character gets stale. You know, and then they tried to pair them up with Otunga, you know, after the Sheamus feud. But I'm telling you, check his stuff out on YouTube from FCW. He could really, I mean, I don't know if he could be good in the ring, but as far as like a serious character, he could really work.
Absolutely. And I think it's only a matter of time. I think eventually it's going to happen. I don't know when, but I think eventually it will definitely happen.
Yeah, let's hope. I like going back to what we said. That Rosa with him doesn't hurt anybody. Everybody wins with that.
And maybe Rosa could replace Ricardo. Maybe they're putting Rosa with Del Rio in order to set up the opportunity for Ricardo to break away without leaving Del Rio by himself.
Yeah, you know, that's possible. I mean, I think Del Rio's brother is in developmental, so that could always, you know, they could always use that. There's, you know, there's a couple of different ways they can go with it, you know. Even if you want
absolutely
to even put them with Wright, you know. So there's definitely some options. And also, you know, I mean, when Wright Kara happens at WrestleMania, if Kara goes heel, that may also be a good little group for them to maybe, you know, really put everyone together.
Yeah, I mean, people have mentioned that. I don't know how that could happen without him being able to cut a promo.
Well, that's what you could put him with someone who could talk for him.
Right. Let his actions speak for his words.
Yeah. There you go. It works like
absolutely
that.
Absolutely. All right, John, what else do you have for us tonight?
Well, touching into what I said earlier about TNA keeping contract negotiations very quiet, if you've noticed, Velvet Sky has disappeared off the independent scene. She has re-signed with TNA. It's just a matter of they're probably going to hold off till after the holidays to bring her back because they're taping a bunch of shows in December because of the holiday schedules. But look for her back maybe the first live impact of 2013. And I'll be honest with you, this is a sad miss for Vince and them, you know, to miss out on Sky and Love. They could have really injected something into that Divas division that we were just talking about, how bad it is. I think these guys, the two of them could have been great signings. You didn't have to send them to developmental. And it probably could have helped getting some of the better Diva workers that may not be being used in TNA over. So I really think this is a miss for Vince. And the fact that Dixie personally handled the negotiations to bring her back, because Dixie was the one that was upset that her contract was let to expire and not renewed, you know, it shows that Dixie still has, you know, hands-on power and is still going to call shots with talent. So, you know, it looks like Sky will be back probably the first live impact of 2013.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that about Vince and the Divas division. Knowing what I know about Vince and Triple H's stance on things, Triple H, I think, was a big part of pushing for the tag team division to get bigger and better. But I believe Triple H is not as big into pushing the Divas division. So I think that maybe if Triple H and Vince wanted Velvet Sky, wanted to make the Divas division a bigger and better thing, they probably could. But it still doesn't seem like they're putting the time and effort into building it.
Yeah, I've heard that about Hunter, too, that he's not really a fan of it. I mean, I wonder if it's just a case where, you know, maybe Hunter realizes they don't have anyone that's any good, hence why he doesn't care. But if that's the case, if you want to make it better, you got to go out and get people that are better. Or it could just be a case where he doesn't like it, even if he had Trish, Lita, Jazz, Beth, Kong, Natalie running around, he still wouldn't care. So, you know, who knows where that goes. But if the trade-off is the Divas for the tag division, you know what, I'll take it.
Yeah. What do you expect from Velvet Sky when she comes back in TNA?
It's TNA, and it's, I don't know. I mean, she'll probably be thrown into whoever has the belt division-wise. I'd have her be honest with you, if they're really playing up guys who weren't given a chance and anything like that, she'd be a great female member of Aces and Eights.
That's true. Have there been any rumors in terms of females in Aces and Eights?
Not that I've heard, but that would just be a great, great little addition to it, that it's not just going to be limited to the guys.
They should do that. They absolutely should have at least one female in that group. I think that having some diva or some knockout or some woman in a stable definitely does a lot for any group. It makes them more flexible in terms of stories and feuds, and can really just help the overall group and stable. Do you agree?
Yeah, oh, definitely. I mean, versatility is never a bad thing. You know, anytime you could be, you know, diverse and be able to expand an angle, you know, it's never a bad thing. And she would be the perfect character that, you know, kind of like the D-Von situation. Oh, you know, you were going to let me walk. You know, who are you to make that call on me? You know, yeah, I would do it. I would do it in a heartbeat.
Absolutely.
The only thing is they gotta get someone, and this is the problem that TNA has, and they don't just do it with the guys. They gotta get someone who's gonna be the face of that division, and whether it's Mickey, whether it's Gail, whether it's Tara, whoever it's gonna be, you gotta get someone that when you know all this comes to a head, you're gonna have that big blow off match with it, and they don't do that, and that's the only potential problem with this. Like, if Tara drops the belt to Mickey, and then Mickey drops it to Madison Rayne, and then Madison Rayne drops it back to Tara, and then Velvet's revealed, it's not going to matter when Velvet takes the belt off whoever, because odds are that person is not going to be the one that takes the belt off Velvet.
Right. They have to build one of them to be the very top in order to make the feud that much better. Am I right?
Exactly. And you know, the fact that right now the belt's on Tara, it's not going to work because Tara's going to be a heel. Velvet's going to be a heel with aces and eights. And, you know, who are you going to have get over in that? You're not going to have anyone get over.
Absolutely. Who do you think it should be, Mickey?
No. I think if you really want to go the face of the vision for the company, it should be Gail.
Yeah.
Gail was the one that really put that division on the map with Kong.
Right. All right, well, moving on. I don't know how many of you know this, but the security guards who were there on Raw with the altercation with Ryback, one of them actually was in a dark match before the SmackDown tapings in Louisiana. Santino Marella defeated this independent wrestler, Luke Hawks, who performed as one of the security guards on last night's Raw. And, John, you know, we see this a lot where these security guards or these little side roles are played by future WWE superstars. We know that CM Punk did this in Chicago. I forget what the pay-per-view was. You might
it was WrestleMania 22.
There you go, WrestleMania 22, the one and only. You know, in Chicago, he played a gangster. Sheamus and Wade Barrett, I remember seeing a video of them.
Were security on a Raw from London, yep.
Exactly. So What do you think? What did you think of these three security guys? Because when I saw them, I actually said these guys look like wrestlers. These guys look like future WWE superstars. So, what do you think of them?
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem when they do it. I actually thought originally that's what Rollins, Ambrose, and Reigns were just going to be. I thought they were just going to be three random security guys, this and that. Working for Punk, whatever. I'm glad this is that one time that they acknowledged who they were. If they can get Luke Hawks in, that would be just another great addition to the company. And the fact that they used him as security and he worked a dark match and supposedly looked really good in it, I think is a good sign that you'll probably see him signed. It's going to be a big loss for he works Extreme Rising amongst some other companies, but yeah, I'm all for it. You know, you get some guys some early exposure, and you know what? Maybe someday they'll play off the fact that, you know, hey, I remember that guy from blah, blah, blah.
Right. I feel like they don't mention it in terms of, like, Sheamus and Wade Barrett. I haven't heard that. CM Punk obviously discussed it leading up to I want to say it was when he and Cena were in Chicago, Money in the Bank.
Yeah, it was mentioned in his promos.
Yeah, but we haven't heard that from Sheamus or Wade Barrett, but it would be cool if they acknowledged that.
Yeah, I would have no problem with that, and, you know, like I said, if they can get Luke, that will be a steal for them. You know,
absolutely.
However they got to get him in.
Absolutely. All right, what else do you have for us, John?
Well, I wanted to touch on that apparently who's ever in charge of TNA must think that Kurt Angle is the biggest dumbass around. I mean, obviously, the West Briscoe Aces and Eights connection is there. And now, earlier this week, the Garrett Bischoff tattoo picture came out, clearly revealing him as another member. Who did Kurt Angle piss off? And more importantly, what is his hacked Twitter account going to say once he gets just the beatdown that you know is coming for him with this storyline and how obvious they're going to make it look and how stupid he's going to come off in all this?
Kurt Angle's been, it seems like he's been talking a lot of trash through Twitter recently, especially, I mean, he's been talking shit about and to WWE and just really not keeping his mouth shut, which is probably what he should do. Am I right about that?
Yeah, and every time he does, then the next day, oh, my Twitter was hacked, which, you know, is his thing. You know, it's just old news with him. But I just, like I said, I can't get over the fact that they're making him out to look like such an idiot right now with Briscoe and Bischoff, you know, especially the way, you know, he acted during that gut check match. Like, they made him out like a little obsessed schoolgirl, and he's going to look like such a dumbass when Briscoe's revealed and Bischoff's revealed, and he's just gonna get a beating. And it's like, really, like, you booked Kurt Angle to look this bad?
Absolutely. I mean, they've been dragging on the revealing of each member for so long. I would love to just see them have the rest of the guys just stand in the ring and all take their masks off at once and attack someone. They've been dragging it on for so long, and everyone is speculating, and through Kurt Angle and different other sources are able to figure out who these guys are. So I don't know why they insist on continuing to drag it out.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, of all people to make look like that, it's like, it's even worse that it's Angle. You know, like, really, you're going to make Angle look this way? It's been bad. You know, it was one thing when they did it sporadically. I remember they did it a couple times, you know, Lucy, that they put, you know, Briscoe, you know, in Angle's locker room, and it was just like, okay, they did it one-off. Now that they're doing it every week, it's just like, all right, now it's just, you're making Angle look like a complete moron and a complete tool.
Absolutely. All right, I think we're going to take a little commercial break. We'll be right back with Oh, You Didn't Know? All right, we are back with Oh, You Didn't Know, Episode 5, brought to you by ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Welcome back, John. What else do you have for us tonight to discuss?
Okay. Basically, with TLC coming up, it looks like we've got three main matches already set. And it looks like where the rest of this card may be going is there's a rumored triple threat tag match with possibly Team Hell No, Rey and Kara, and the primetime players, although it's unclear maybe if Monday night, what happened Monday night with the Shield is going to have any effect on that. Looks like you're also going to have an R-Truth Antonio Cesaro rematch for the U.S. title, and as well as Kofi Kingston already defending against Wade Barrett. It looks like it's going to be a pretty good card. What else do you think could be added there?
Well, I did recently publish on Bleacher Report my take on some more matches that should be booked for TLC, including the one that you mentioned, which is Team Hell No, Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio, and the primetime players in a three-team ladder match. I think that it has a lot of potential. I haven't been that big of a fan of primetime players, but I kind of liked where Titus O'Neil was going. His promos and his mic work seem to be improving quite a bit. Would you agree?
Yeah, they were ridiculous on commentary 2 weeks ago. That was just one of the better segments probably of the year.
I still don't think that they're going to win the tag team titles at any point, really. I think Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara have a better chance. Not that I think they will win either. But, I mean, after the Rey Mysterio and Daniel Bryan match, I wouldn't be surprised to see the two of them on top of the ladder at the end of the match. Some people are saying it should be a TLC match. Some people are saying it should be a ladder match. But with Punk and Ryback already set as a TLC match.
You're not going to have two of them.
Yeah, they probably won't have two of them. Probably just stick with the ladder match for them. But it definitely has the potential to be sort of like a Dudley Boys, Hardys, Edge and Christian type of match where everyone's going all over the place, though primetime players are not nearly as talented as any of those teams. But, yeah, I think that that's definitely a match we will see. I really don't want to see another Antonio Cesaro and R-Truth match. I think that R-Truth is not a serious threat to Antonio Cesaro's U.S. title. I think R-Truth is at the end of his career, and, you know, there's no point in having him challenge Cesaro. It's time for Cesaro to get a real challenger. And the one that I suggested was The Miz. They're trying to build up The Miz as a face, and him being great on the mic and Cesaro having some great heel promos himself, I think a feud between the two of them would be very interesting.
Yeah, we did our WrestleMania cards last night. I actually had Miz Cesaro for the U.S. title on at WrestleMania. I don't like the Truth Cesaro match only because Cesaro beat him clean at Survivor. If there was some sort of messy finish at Survivor or Truth would have even won by DQ, then the rematch would make sense. But other than that, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I have no problem with the fact with Cesaro going on pay-per-view and picking up wins, but it's like you don't want to put him in a spot where he's going to keep beating the same guys again. The one match I didn't mention, I want to get your view on it. Where do you go with John Cena and Dolph Ziggler, especially after what happened Monday with the Cena-Ziggler match? Would you go Cena-Ziggler again, or would you go Cena and AJ versus Ziggler and Tamina Snuka?
You took the words right out of my mouth. I think that it's definitely one of those two things. I predicted two separate singles matches, one between Cena and Ziggler, this time a tables match. Though some people were saying that maybe they would do a ladder or TLC match and have Dolph's briefcase on the line. And there has been rumors that it's possible that Dolph Ziggler's briefcase will be on the line or possibly Vicky Guerrero's job, which is obviously my hope and my wish that Vicky's job will be on the line. Then again, I am part of the people who think that Ziggler will defeat Cena at TLC after Cena's been picking up win after win over Ziggler on Monday night, and then tonight against Sandow on main event. But I see it as two separate singles matches, the other one obviously being AJ versus Tamina. I think having a non-title Divas feud would be very good for WWE. It would be very good for the Divas division, and it would be good for everyone. The tag match, you know, if it was Dolph Ziggler and Vicky teaming up, I would say it would make a little more sense, but that's not going to happen. So I see it as two separate singles matches. What do you think?
I'm torn on it. I think the tag match would be a good way, an easier way for Ziggler to go over as far as them being able to comprehend it. I would absolutely love it if Cena lost to Ziggler straight up one-on-one, especially after what happened Monday. So I don't know. Either way, as long as Ziggler somehow goes over, that has to be the main cause of this. And I got to admit, I think he's going to go over. I really do. I think Cena would have no problem putting him over. It'll be the type of thing where he doesn't have to pin him 1, 2, 3, but Ziggler can, you know, maybe Cena's knee buckles on the ladder. And, you know, they have ways out with it, which is what works.
Absolutely. And are you going to TLC, John?
No, I'm not.
Okay. What I think is a very strong possibility is Ziggler beating Cena and cashing in the Money in the Bank briefcase at TLC in Brooklyn, excuse me, after the chairs match, which is exactly the way Daniel Bryan did it last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think the WWE is really pushing Ziggler a lot right now, and I think it's, and I know that they want to get him that belt, you know, now or very early on in 2013. So I think it really would be the ideal time, and I would obviously love to be there to see it happen, Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, and I read something that said the reason why he hasn't cashed in is because they wanted to get the feud with Cena out of the way. So I guess maybe they're thinking if they can put him with Cena, they could use that just to shoot him up another level and then put the belt on him. So, I mean, if that's what they're thinking, that's fine by me.
They could kill two birds with one stone at TLC by doing that.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, and I think it would be a dead giveaway.
Right.
If that match goes on early, I think it's a dead giveaway he's cashing in.
Yeah, I would love to see that. You had mentioned that on your WrestleMania card you had Miz versus Cesaro. But my feeling is that the Miz is going to be a little higher up come WrestleMania time. I think that he is, I don't want to say a favorite, but I think he's definitely in contention to win the Rumble.
You want to go there right now?
I'm predicting Ryback to win the Rumble, but, you know, if I had to come up with a few more options for Rumble winners, I think The Miz would be up there. They really want to push him now that he's a face.
All right, I'll give you a recap from last night, and I know you're a big Ryback guy. I know Jay's a big Ryback guy. This is what
I'm really not. I'm really not that big of a Ryback guy. I just think that Vince is a huge fan, and that the putting the WWE title on him is a bad decision. But that doesn't mean that they shouldn't put the World Heavyweight Championship on Ryback.
Okay. Let me throw this at you. I'll throw this at you perfectly. And Ziggler needs to actually possibly go over at WrestleMania. But that's a different issue. I think Cena's going to win the Rumble. I'll tell you why. Rock Punk's going to happen. You book, the way you book that card, you have the Rumble go on first. You can have Cena look at it as, this is great. If I win the Rumble, I can't lose here. I either get another shot at The Rock or I get another shot at Punk. Because they've done a good thing of keeping Cena and Punk kind of away from each other ever since, more or less, even though they were at Survivor Series, they've kind of distanced them a little, which is good. I think Lesnar's going to cost Rocky. I think Lesnar's going to cost Rock. I don't think Rocky's winning. I know I'm probably in the minority with it. I don't
you are
think Rock's
not
working out
in the minority on this show.
Okay. I think especially now with his new, with the schedule, the fact that he's going to be filming, he's going to be doing PR, they're not going to want him, that belt, not on TV or involved in any storyline.
I absolutely think Punk keeps the belt over Rock.
Yeah. So you're going to get Cena, Punk at WrestleMania. You're going to get Lesnar, Rocky. Cena's going to sit there and say, we need a way to have a straight-up winner. The last couple times we fought, you know, whatever. I think Austin's going to be the ref at Mania. Now, where does that leave Ryback? Ryback can dominate the Rumble. Dominate. Ryback will eliminate Big Show. Big Show will be the guy that, after he's eliminated, will come back in, eliminate Ryback. Same thing at the Elimination Chamber. And I think I know I've said this to you in the past, or I may have said it to Jay. Imagine the pop at MetLife Stadium if Ryback shell-shocks the Big Show.
You know what? I read that online today. I read online the rumor that WWE is considering Ryback for a show and having the WrestleMania moment be Ryback shell-shocking Big Show.
What you can do from there, you can put Ryback into a world title feud with Ziggler.
After WrestleMania.
Right. That's going to be the beauty of Ryback. It's going to be like what Cena can be, what Taker used to be. You can put them in separate feuds, take them away from the title for a month or two, and then you can instantly put them right back in. Now, because of all that, you may not have as high of a spot as you'd like for a guy like Miz, but you know what? Miz Cesaro can do something that hasn't been done at this point in like 5-6 years. They could actually have a meaningful U.S. title match, or heck, a meaningful secondary title match. And, you know, Cesaro just hit 100 days today as U.S. champ. When they like to throw numbers around, by the time WrestleMania comes, Cesaro could be 200, maybe, I don't know, 225, just doing some quick math. You can have Cesaro kind of start bringing that up. Having Miz be the guy that ends that would be huge for Miz.
I you know what? A few weeks ago, I would have said this card that you're just naming off that you were crazy, but I have to say tonight, John, I like it. I like what you have right now with this WrestleMania card.
Oh, don't get me wrong. If you want crazy, I've got tons of batshit crazy on my card. One night I'll tell you how we get the Triple H Alberto Del Rio.
Who do you think challenges Ziggler? Is it going to be someone like Orton?
I have a six-pack challenge for Ziggler. Okay. I got Kofi, Barrett, Orton, Sheamus, and Jericho, because I don't believe anything that Jericho says about that he's not going to be back in time. I don't buy it.
You can never believe Jericho.
Yeah.
Okay, I could see that. I could see that. But I do see Ziggler's reign as World Heavyweight Champion lasting a very long time once he gets it.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, Ziggler can retain.
Did you see this interview? There was an interview, a video with Dolph Ziggler. I don't remember who was interviewing him, but they talked about his first title reign. And
he doesn't acknowledge it.
Yeah, he doesn't like to acknowledge it, even though it's in the record books. But that's why I think even more so that his World Heavyweight Championship title reign that's coming up starting at TLC is going to be a long one. I think it's definitely reach past WrestleMania.
Yeah, and then you know, once Ryback shell shocks Big Show, there's your world title feud, and that's instant. That's instant. Ryback could walk out and start Raw and be like, "I'm coming for you, Dolph," and you know what? People would buy into it.
I'm with you, man. I am with you on this one. what do you think for the pre-show for TLC? What do you expect for the pre-show?
Maybe something with Sandow. I think you said Sandow Ryder. Maybe something like that, you know, depending unless if Cody's back or not. You know, Sandow Ryder, maybe. Something like that.
I don't know. When, do you know, have any idea when Ryder is, Rhodes is expected back?
No, and there was an interview with him today that came out, and he said there's no real timetable.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to push Sandow too far for a singles push. I think that he and Ryder are the favorites.
I'd keep an eye on Sandow post-WrestleMania. He's a Triple H guy. Triple H likes him, and I can see it where it's just like, you know what, just hang loose for now. Keep beating Clay, keep beating Truth, Santino, have good matches with, you know, with Sheamus and Cena and Orton, and, you know, we'll get you in April.
Absolutely. I think that the singles heels is very crowded. There's a lot of top singles heels right now, not really room for Sandow to get that push right now, which is why I think they put him with Rhodes. Make for a great tag team, but you're probably right. Post WrestleMania, I think that, like you said, Sandow was definitely going to get a big push.
Yeah, and you can sit on him for now, and you know, wait till then, and it works. It's not going to hurt him.
And I still think that Team Rhodes Scholars is going to be the tag team to beat Team Hell No when they're ready to get the tag titles off of them.
I would have said that, but now with the, I would have agreed with you on that even up to about 8.5 days ago. But with the big push for next guys, if they bring the Ascension up, I think that's the team that it's got to be.
They are a very impressive team from what I've seen on NXT. I don't expect the Shield to have any matches for a while. What do you expect from the Shield? In the next number of weeks?
Well, definitely not a TLC. I don't see any of that. Although Monday night, that beatdown at the end got me thinking you may see something with them in Hell No eventually. But, yeah, I think you got to keep them for a little while. They'll definitely be in the Rumble, and they'll probably start going right around after the first of the year full time.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of them...
Yeah.
You know, there were a lot of positive reports coming out about how Ambrose came off in that little segment Monday night. I mean, everyone's talking about how this was kind of Roman Reigns' coming out party Monday night. The backstage reaction to Ambrose was nothing but positive, and that's a good sign.
I think all three did an amazing job. Some people were criticizing me on my articles because I said that the interview was phenomenal. And honestly, I think that all three really did a great job. Ambrose, you could see the potential in all three of them. You could see that all three are definitely going to be a big part of the future. I think that people were skeptical of Roman Reigns, but after Monday night, between the interview and his spear towards the end of the night, I think that he could be a great big boss man or Kevin Nash kind of guy.
Yep.
Rollins obviously definitely reminded people of CM Punk quite a bit. And obviously Dean Ambrose is definitely going to be a major player as well.
Yeah, and I like something they did, which has gone, a lot of people haven't spoken about it, and I think this is going to be the tie-in to everything with them. They were only asked if they were aligned with Punk. They would never ask if they were aligned with Heyman. And I think that's going to be a key in all this.
You're absolutely right. I didn't even realize it, but I got all these comments about it, and people were pointing it out to me. I couldn't believe it that I didn't realize this. And you're absolutely
yeah.
right. I think that's going to be a big part of it. It was obviously Heyman who was speaking with Brad Maddox. It was not CM Punk. There's been no, like you said, nothing from Heyman or questioning about Heyman being part of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I caught that as soon as it said, I was like, there's the out right there.
Yeah. I think that WWE kind of threw the Shield into the spotlight a bit. I don't think that was, you know, something that was planned very far in advance, but I think that they're getting a great reaction. I think that obviously in the internet wrestling community, people were begging and waiting for Dean Ambrose to debut, and I think that they got a great reaction, and I think that it's going to be a very good sign for them.
Yeah, and the good thing about them addressing NXT is, I mean, they could, if they really wanted to, they could even use this to bring NXT to the forefront. Because I said this to Jay last Tuesday night. If you want to kind of segue everything that's going on and continue this all along the way, Rollins has got to drop the NXT title, obviously.
Yes. Yeah.
I would have, and I think their next set of tapings is, I think it's not this Thursday, I think it's next Thursday. I would have Rollins defend the belt against somebody, and all you do is have Ryback's music hit. Distract Rollins, have Ryback maybe show up on the stage, don't touch him, and have whoever is facing Rollins either hit their finisher or roll him up, and that's how you get the belt off Rollins. And you can play that as a way to really tie NXT into everything. And, you know, you could even use it in a sense to maybe bring guys to the NXT cause, you know. Hey, you know what? Who's this guy to come here and do this? You know, it could really open things up.
You're absolutely right. And I think that I read that they're going to have Rollins drop the belt before 2013. And that would be a great opportunity to have them be with WWE full time at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, I think you said around January, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because there's no other belts. Just Rollins has the NXT title, and that's the only thing they got to drop with him.
Yeah. I heard possibly Corey Graves could pick it up.
Yeah, that's the name I've heard, too. I heard that name, that they're big on him. So, and it makes you wonder, with some of the names that you think would be attached to it, maybe they're on the verge of maybe being called up. Why it's not like a Jake Carter or a Big E Langston or a Richie Steamboat or a Cassius Ohno. You know, why it's not one of those guys, it may be because they might be on the verge of being called up too, hopefully. I know Bray Wyatt's been teasing it a little.
Who has?
Bray Wyatt, Husky Harris.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I think that Bray Wyatt, Biggie Langston, who else? There are a few others who I've heard that WWE wants to get them ready and have them called up pretty soon, and I debated as to whether or not they would be part of this whole big angle and this group of Heymans, but it's probably best that they keep the group small, that they have it just be the three of them, Heyman, maybe Brad Maddox, and then
Lesnar, when Lesnar comes back.
Right.
Yeah.
I think, because the bigger groups never work out too well.
No, but just, you know, I mean, you have 5-6 guys at that point. Everyone kind of has a role, and you can go with it, and it's fine. It won't be overkill.
Absolutely. All right. Any
speaking of things,
last
minute
things. Go ahead.
Are we on the verge of heel Cole coming back?
I think I saw you post this on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse, am I right?
Yeah.
I did not see this. I really did not see this. I think JBL is their heel commentator right now, and I think that after the Jerry Lawler heart attack, I don't think we're going to see Cole go back to being heel, at least anytime soon.
It was just Monday night was a weird night for Cole.
What did he do or say that made you think this?
He, offended the NXT guys once they did the live shot of off the pre-taped interview. He defended them to Lawler. And then there was, I forget who it was, but him and Lawler were going at it very lightly, though. But it was just enough.
Yeah,
to
I just
noticed.
Thought that he was being a journalist and being, you know, I interviewed these guys, let's wait and hear what they have to say kind of thing.
Yeah, but even after, and then, like, there was some, I forget who it was, and they were kind of going at it a little. And it was like, this is coming back, isn't it?
I really hope not.
I hope not either. Maybe it was just for one night, I hope.
Yeah, I think so. That was such a terrible move that WWE did, having him be heel at all in the first place. They wasted so much time with different segments and matches involving Michael Cole. It was even in the Royal Rumble one year, and it was just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was this year.
Yeah, it was just...
Yeah, hopefully it was just for one night. Hopefully maybe I just read a little too into it, but I don't know. It was just a little weird Monday night.
Yeah. I hope so, John. I hope so.
Yeah,
well,
you and me both, man.
Let's go ahead and wrap up the show. Thank you, John, for joining us. Do you want to plug anything at all?
No, I'm good for now. Just keep listening.
Keep listening to Oh, You Didn't Know. Check out ProWrestlingPowerHouse.com. Lots of John's take on things there. You can follow me on Twitter at Seth Gutt, SethGutt. Check out GutWrenchPowerBlog.com, Gut with two T's. You can also see me on or read about me on Bleacher Report, Seth Gutt and Plan Bleacher Report. Check it out. Thanks again to ProWrestlingPowerHouse.com. Check them out if you're interested in contributing, writing, podcasting, anything for ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com, please contact Jay, our lovely owner of ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. And thank you all for joining us for another episode of Oh, You Didn't Know?